Well, welcome everybody to another Hour of Truth. I'm Paul Muller. I have Phil Walthall to my right. The presentation of who what Jesus looks like, what his character is. We've been sold this bill of goods that he was a pacifist who didn't believe in war or resistance or fighting or, you know, and he was this kind of effeminate looking guy that, he was not particularly virile or manly or, this religious thing is really, it's all right for, you know, if you need that kind of crutch, but a real man doesn't need this because this is girlish. It's girly. It's not manly. And, if you follow the same track, because Jesus, if you're observing what he was doing in the natural, he looks weak and not particularly, manly, because he's not justifying himself or defending himself or, you know. But, you know, the whole thing was, nobody took my life. I laid it down. And, you know, it's like the same, in weakness in when I subject myself to, not minding to look weak in the world's eyes, that I can have the strength of the Lord.
Amen.
And that's what Paul's talking about there. It's,
Amen.
If I can be weak and yet, you may be manifested as my strength, then that's a win.
Amen.
That's a win. When Jesus, as so often is cited in the Beatitudes, when Jesus says, turn the other cheek, that turn the other cheek is not because I'm a wimp and I'm not going to fight for right. It is because the first slap did not knock me off. It is it is resistance. It is resistance, that, the only thing I can, the only affirmative I can say is, it is a resistance without anger and animus or even judgment for the one dispensing the slap. And that does not make it weak and defenselessness, and it doesn't justify, you know, inaction to to help those who are in need, who if for some reason are being oppressed by some ungodly spirit or force. That is, you know, the enemy's killing, stealing, and destroying. You have all the equipment you need to take up that fight with a vengeance in the power of God.
Amen. Well, what did he, you know, through and what you're saying? And
this pacifist cursed a fig tree because it didn't have any figs on it when it was supposed to. Come on.
Well, I mean, one is, you talk about this past visit. I mean, he turned over the tables in the temple.
Yeah.
He spoke the truth to the Pharisees when no other man would.
Right.
He did only what the Father told him to do. But what do you see, you know, when you're talking about, you know, my strength is made perfect in weakness, where he laid down, right, he laid down his life. But in his laying down his life, what has happened is he tasted every, it says here in Hebrews, he, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. So he was victorious through what, through the carnal, what you were saying, through the world's eyes might look pacifist, through what he had done, there was victory. And he, not just for victory for all that would receive him.
I was an example of what Paul's saying there. In my weakness, you made me strong, or some such thing as that. I'd be looking at it. I could
turn right back to it.
For my strength is made perfect in weakness. So, you know, the thing is, in that apparent weakness, the power of God in the resurrection was made available.
Amen.
To all who could be partakers of it.
Amen.
And who would believe the gospel.
Amen. I mean, remember the, with the earthquake, the veil ripped in two. That means no more partition between us anymore. Yeah. That was victory.
Right.
That was not defeat. That was victory. And that we all can be partakers in that victory.
We ought to always be making certain that the way we have judged a thing or received a word or is not in carnality and the world's wisdom, because if you listen to the world's wisdom, then you just get this idea that there's never anything that's worth fighting for, dying for. And somebody who will believe that doesn't have the ability to believe Jesus Christ for salvation. Because, well, you moron, were worth God sending His Son to die for. That's how much He loved you. If you don't love anything enough to fight to keep it, or love anybody enough to risk your own life to protect them, then you're selfish and you don't know the Lord. Sorry. You know, and maybe have, you know, no hope of knowing the Lord. It's doing these things, it kind of reminds me of, where is it in Revelations where he's talking to Laodicea? And he says, I would that you were hot or cold, but because you're neither hot or cold, I spew you out of my mouth. That's, if you don't have the passion to minister, to proclaim the gospel, to, protect those who are innocently being oppressed, if you don't have the passion to serve the Lord and His people, if you don't have the passion to proclaim the word of the Lord, when you know it and He's given it to you so that others may partake in that truth, if you're passionless and soulless and selfish and how could you fancy yourself to be the Lord's and stay that way?
Oh, amen. I mean, right here in John, and I turn to 1 John as from what you're talking about. Right here in John, chapter 2, verse, let's see here. I'll start at 9. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even unto now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness, and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. You know, how can you say you have fellowship with the Lord and hate your brother? And being that example where you said you're selfish. you don't want
you're still having a problem with that first commandment. I'm the Lord thy God, am a jealous God. I have none other God before me. It's idolatry. It's selfishness. It's I know. I am discerning and know good and evil. I can choose what's good for me. And I can choose what's even better, I know what's good for you. And I can choose it for you too. That's really, we're full of people. We got a country, a world full of people like that today. And
well, I mean, is not that where the, and you know, I don't want to really put too much government into it, but I guess it's kind of going this way. But that is not what, and you were talking about slavery a little bit today, well, which is kind of, and
let me, because I know where you're going with this, but it's not even, I think, where you're going with this is going to be a truth, but is this, we use government to make other people conform to what we think is good for them. We have a neighbor who's got a tree that's on the property line is busting through our fence. Well, instead of going to the neighbor and saying, "Look here, neighbor, what you think about cutting this tree down?" Because it's you go to the zoning commission or some government agency, and you file a complaint against the neighbor for this thing that's happening to your fence. Instead of going to the neighbor, you take and use government to enforce your will on the person that lives next door to you. That's how we are.
And Matthew addresses that.
I mean, yeah.
Or it might have been Matthew or Corinthians. I'm not too sure. But why do you know? The Corinthians, yeah. Why do you go to the law? And I don't know where it's at. But why do you go to the law for one another? I mean, can you not go to one another?
I believe it's in seven.
But that's what comes to mind. The scripture that comes to mind as you say on that.
Yeah.
But. And where I was going with that whole, the whole government is just that, okay, we decide what's best and you're just too dumb for you to know what's best for you. And so we're going to make this, we're going to make this a rule that you would have to obey because it's good for you.
Right.
And they're the deciding factor of that. And that's what generally our government does. And what ends up happening as well, what ends up happening is slavery ends up happening. Well, your job is, this is the best job for you, and your job is going to be this. But don't worry, you got a house and I'm going to feed you and all those things. But this is what your job is. I mean, it's the same kind of line that follows down that line, but. It was clear earlier. I apologize.
Dear interview, 1 Corinthians 6. Having a matter against another, go to law before the unjust and not before the saints. Do you not know that the saints shall judge the world? And if the world should be judged by you, are you unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Know ye not that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? If ye have judgments of things pertaining to this life, set them to judge who are least esteemed in the church. I speak to your shame. Is it so there's not a wise man among you? Not one that should be able to judge between his brethren? What is the matter with you people? Now, it's how we are. Hadn't changed all that. All those years.
You know, and I don't know if the guys heard us when we started talking. I think it continued in the discussion that we had in the beginning and on the whole front and kind of hitting the point again one more time where, you know, in Corinthians we turn to, you know, my strength is made perfect in weakness. And we talked about, that the power of God may rest upon me. So I rather glory in my infirmities that the power of God may rest upon me. And hitting that one more time, you look at Jesus and the victory that he had was, it was through death. And it was through death that he tasted death for every man, and in the power of his resurrection that he became victorious in. In the same likeness where, my strength is made perfect in weakness, I was, and I don't know if they heard this part, Paulie, but, you know, Brad was sharing to me about, you know, this job was everything about his weakness. I mean, it's multitasking, it's remembering a lot of things, and it was just a lot in that area. And then I said, well, look, praise the God. Then that way you can put your faith in Jesus, what he's able to do. And what gets magnified when it's him that performance is God's strength. That, and it be a witness to others around. There's not much difference there, and that's what our lives look like. That's what our lives look like in it. What did the, you know, the children of Israel when they were delivered? It was apparently God's strength that delivered. It was apparently God that destroyed the Egyptian. It was apparently when the walls came falling down on Jericho. It was God's strength move. It was nothing of all their whole raw power that they came in force against. No. They shouted. And yet, you know, through where Jesus lays down his life, he became victorious and all things were under subjection under his feet at that point. And has the, go ahead, and have the power to raise us up from the dead as
it really Jesus, is that you know? Same, I laid my life down, nobody take it from me, I lay it down, is really what's going on there in the turn the other cheek thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because it's like, I'd rather choose to be hit than to and to receive the punishment again than to do and be moved by anger and being wrong and missing, you know, the Lord, missing the Father, missing the revelation of the Father. The, in the Son's willingness to lay it down, it's the Son's willingness to show the power of God and not, the power in himself.
Amen.
He might can rip you a new throat with this little pinky. That's not what he's there to do. He's Amen. There to show the power and the goodness and the love of the Father. And I would sooner take the hit on the other cheek as well than to be moved from my job of revealing to you the character and the goodness of the Father.
Amen. And as perceived in the world, as you were saying before, as pacifist or weakness, but it's not. It actually takes more to do that.
It does.
Than to give in to the vengeance that you would want to carry out.
That's right. That's right. And it is the first place we in the flesh, in the our carnal man, our carnal selves, is where we want to go.
Yo, absolutely.
If somebody provokes us and our pride rips up and says, let's go stiff.
Yep.
Rip him a new throat.
Yep.
And
the Lord's telling us, resist not evil. Amen.
What does it say in Romans? Vengeance is mine. I will repay,
saith the Lord. Amen. And if we go to in the Beatitudes in Matthew, he says, and I'm looking it up here. I'm going to take a second here. It says, resist not evil. I'm going to try to look for it here for a sec.
That's exactly what that means.
Right.
Exactly what that means.
Let's see here.
The demonstration is really, Jesus is the demonstration of the God, of the Beatitudes.
Oh, amen.
He does it. It does it perfectly.
Perfectly. Absolutely. And in Matthew 5:39, I found it. It says, "But I say unto you that you resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if any man will sue thee at the law and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with them twain."
But you started that a little late.
Okay.
This is
you want to go to
30? You've heard it said. There's another one.
Right.
You've heard it said. An eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you, listen, you might can exact that out of a guy who's doing that to you. I say unto you that you resist not evil, whatsoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. And that's a demonstration of a humble man who is more important to demonstrate
the love of the Father.
The love of the Father. It's more important to him that the person doing the smiting has an opportunity to see the power of God. And you, and that this, in this case, Jesus, is trusting in the deliverance that the Father will bring.
Amen.
You know.
Amen.
I'm going into this tomb 3 days, but then I'm coming out of it. And nobody who's getting smoke on their left cheek stands around and takes it. They either launch an assault or they run. That's the nature of man.
Yep.
To stand there and say, "All right, buddy, I love you. My job here is to reveal the Father. And I'm going to do that. He loves you. You don't have to stay there and die." That's what Jesus did for us.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So, there's always, you know, a practical, and this is a calling for us to get out of ourselves and into Jesus Christ.
And into abiding in the light by loving one another.
That's right.
And that's what with John, what we were talking about back in John. You know, it's funny. It's you're talking about loving one another in the sense of, do you love people the way the Lord loves you? You know, and I ask this a question. I ask myself this, and that scares me. I almost my heart starts racing saying it because I know the truth. I got a long ways to go. I mean, do you love somebody and accept them in spite of them because the Lord loves them and accept them? Or do you reject them because they annoy you? Do you treat them differently because they bother you?
I reject them because they pulled out in front of me and they're driving slower than me.
But I say this because that's laying down our lives. That's being that living sacrifice that we're called to walk in.
Yeah.
But what did David say? How will they know? Unless you preach the gospel and sometimes use words.
Yeah, that's right.
Preaching the gospel there is showing them by action, by how you treat them. And it might be one way for another person, it might be another way for another person. Whatever needs be for that person at that time. But are we revealing that to others?
Really the key thing in 39 there is, resist not evil. Trust the Lord.
You know, and it's funny because it says resist not evil, but whosoever smite thee on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. I was going to say it in one context, but it's not going to be right.
Keep on going.
So I apologize. I stop right there.
You keep on going. And if any man will sue thee at law, and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. In other words, not angry. You're not taking it out on them. In fact, you're still yet willing to give more, that the Lord be glorified. And this is not that anti-war, South American anti-war Sandinista priest running around giving sanctuary to people who won't fight for their own children, let alone, provide for them. That turn out, you know, everything is turned into, how's this good for me? and this is somebody who is about ministering the gospel and sometimes using words.
Amen.
Whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Once you go with him a mile, what's the matter? What's it to you? Go a second one. It's, showing them that you're about the Lord's work and you will not be moved. You will not be moved. And you're more important to me than my pride is important to me, or my standing is important to me. The Father loved you enough to send his Son to die that you may receive life. I'm going to stand here and show you that you're more important to me than I am.
Amen. And that goes at the same time, Paul, that goes in the way of loving one another in the sense of what did, and Jesus, remember that rich young ruler. Remember that rich young ruler. And it said, and Jesus loved him. And he says, you know, one thing thou lackest, go sell everything that thou hast, come and follow me. He loved him enough to tell him the truth. A lot of times, that's another thing that do we show, reveal people the Father by telling them the truth, even if it means that they might hate you for it? We're touching some scary things here, aren't we? But is that, I mean, do we do that? Or do we let them go about their own and their own deceivings that you know it's not going to be profitable for?
Right.
I mean, because that's love too.
And you know, you can really keep going. Give to him that asketh thee, and turn. And from him that would borrow, turn not thou away. You have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. Well, that makes sense, right? I mean, it does. That's how we are. When the traditions of men that the religious are promoting work, it's really easy to be feeling like you're an approved of member of a group that God must love and have find favor with because the rules that they're implementing are natural to everybody. Nobody's being stretched here into, you know, having the Lord willing to do unto them of his good pleasure. None of that going on here. This is how we naturally are anyway. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, and do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Who's he kidding here? Come on.
So it goes back to, once again, showing the love of the Father. What does Romans say? Christ died while we were yet sinners. While we were yet, what's that?
His enemy.
Enemy.
That's right. And, you know, it's like Davis said on occasion, he doesn't say, what to pray? That's your enemy. So, you know, you can be creative. But, and you know, the truth of the matter is, each situation is a little different. Some of them may look like you're taking an awful lot of liberty that may be exactly what the situation calls for.
Yeah.
So.
It's good.
Gotta be more of the soul of those who don't know the Lord have to be more important to you than your own appearance, than your own safety, than your own position.
Amen.
That's preferring somebody else
over you
before yourself. That is the agape love preference that Jesus is.
Amen.
Amen. The embodiment of.
It's like doing whatever it takes
perfectly
to point them to the Lord.
Yeah.
So that they may know Him.
You have to
be willing
to stand the charge of the world when they come up to you and you go, "What a gullible!" You keep giving this guy and doing this stuff to this guy. This guy is a jerk. Yeah, he might be a jerk, but he's seeing the love of God. And you may need to see the love of God as well. And stop calling me a gullible. What an ultramaroon. What a gullible. Oh, my Bugs Bunny references are just 60-year-old cartoons nobody knows anything about today.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Well, I'm having a good time with that. It is so how we are. You know, gather the wagons around and just wail into somebody who threatens us rather than try to show them the love. And that's where the wimpiness factor comes in. And it's not wimpy. It's a fact. It's entirely the opposite.
Listen.
To be able to stand there when all of the evidence is that this isn't going to come out well for you in order to speak the truth of the gospel to somebody who needs it desperately. Nothing wimpy about that.
Not at all.
Of the 11 disciples and Paul, 12 apostles, it cost all of them their lives, save for one. Standing in the place where fear can overtake and make you absolutely impotent. They all stood as an example, as Paul says, those things you have seen and heard and done and seen in me, do.
You take an example, and that's, you're talking about how it's not wimpy. You know what's going through my mind? I just remember years, life and school rough and all these things, but remember when Jesus and they all had the about this stone, the woman, because she was in adultery. It says, let the one without sin cast the first stone. Nothing wimpy about that. That was love. How many times are people willing to go on board with that? Just a nut now. I mean, and that might be literally
a couple of sentences past that when you're picking up stones to throw at him.
Exactly. But, and I'm not even saying Paul with actually physical stones.
Yeah.
But with words, tearing somebody else down and condemning them. You get a bunch of kids around each other, man. It can happen. They're not being watched. There's a reason why kids need to be watched. Because it can happen quickly.
Yeah.
And people jump in on it. It's more not wimpy to stand up for the truth and stand up against that evil nature.
Yeah. Right.
Like you said, they'll be turning on you then. Yeah. Isn't that what they did with Jesus?
But they did. What they did to Jesus.
Yeah. It kind of goes with that. It kind of goes with it. World hated him. He's gonna hate, if you're of him, they're gonna hate you.
Is it enough that the servant be as his master? If they have hated me, they will hate you also.
Yeah.
If they have loved me, they will love you also. Or obeyed you also. If I'm gonna go,
And I appreciate that. Which kind of goes in it, with some of the things, which is, this might be a white rabbit I'm going to, you know, chasing after, but goes when with, you know, where people, you know, I have a great relationship with the Lord. I have a great relationship with the Lord. I have a great relationship with the Lord. Oh, really? How? But then you turn around and reject the one the Lord has sent to you. Well, how's your relationship with the one that has been sent to you? Do you hear what I'm saying? Goes right along the lines with that. Just a little side note, just something I wanted to throw out there. Just kind of highlight it.
Well, you know, pray for those which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. If you can do all this, if it's more about him and pleasing him than it is about me and my position, my place, or my condition, it's more important that they know the Father than how it works out for me, then I can be children of my Father. Wow. For he maketh the sun to rise on the evil and on the good. And sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. Which ye love them which love you, what reward have you? Do not even the publicans the same? What separates you? What makes you different than all the rest of the world out there? Even the unrighteous, the unjust, the unrighteous, the ungodly, those who have no knowledge of God and want none. The rains fall on them too. Their crops get watered. It, you know, they are, you know, basking in some of the provision he's made for his people. But they get it nonetheless.
Are we going to be the same as the Father and do the same with others?
Yeah.
See, and that's what that's saying there. Are you going to be as him in this? Because, for if you love which, if you love them which love you, what reward have you? Do not even the publicans the same. What does it matter? You good to one person, they're good to you, they're good and bad? That's an easy thing.
Yeah.
But do the other, it's a different thing. When you do it to all, even the ones that aren't good to you, even the more so to show them the Father, as you said.
What if you love them which love you, what reward have you? Not even the publicans the same. If you salute your brethren only, what do you more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect.
It's really an outline. It's really an outline of being that living sacrifice.
Yeah. I'm going to chase this with that a little bit.
And I tell you, for me as we read this, it shows... It's a light on those areas that I know I need to change.
Yeah, well,
a lot of selfishness I need to cast off. Oh, amen. Amen.
I'm looking to see what the reference here. The be perfect is as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. He's unified in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And we have reconnectedness through the Son, the Spirit. And we can operate in that completeness and treat these scenarios. We can be successful in standing there and showing the love of the Father to other people. We actually can be partakers of that goodness. Amen. Of seeing somebody else receive.
That's walking as he walked.
That's right. I think we've come to a stopping point.
Yeah, me too.
I'm about out of it on that one, out of things to say. So we will say have a great week. I hope y'all had enjoyed it and had a good time listening, as we did.
Amen.
Y'all have a great Sunday and a great week, and Lord willing, we'll see you next week right here on the Hour of Truth.
May the Lord bless everybody.
Lord bless you.